For reading the scriptures this morning. On this Mother's Day, we're going to take a break from our study of Galatians, and we're going to look at Titus. Titus was one of Paul's missionary associates who was also tasked with helping start and strengthen churches. So he functions in the role of, in a sense of a, I guess, a traveling shepherd, and one who then would settle down and try to help a new and fledgling flock get their bearings. And so Paul is writing to Titus, trying to encourage him on how to encourage the church. And so these instructions to Titus then become insightful for us as followers of Jesus, and saying, what would God have us to understand and do? And it is in this section of Scripture that Paul encourages Titus to address the women in the church. And so that's one of the reasons why I've chosen this passage to unpack on Mother's Day. The idea coming forward in this is that the household of faith is constructed of biblical households of faith. That means the household of faith, the church, is made up of smaller households of faith, and the household of faith, the church, needs to be strengthened and given stability and by all of these households functioning together. And there's a way in which that happens that is biblical and honoring to God, and that needs to be the way that we move forward. That being said, there's much that opposes what God wants to do. There is much in the way of opposition to having a biblical church and having biblical households. What is the nature of that? How serious is this? And I think in many ways, folks, it's a lot more serious than we want to even think about, because I do believe that it's the demons of darkness that are devoted to dismantling households. And I think it's the demons of darkness that are trying to destroy churches. It is absolutely a powerful spiritual force that we are up against, and that we need not panic. We need not give way to fear. We press forward in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We believe his truths, and we want to put those truths forward as what God would have us to walk in, the things he would have us to do. These truths of the faith are constantly opposed in our society. The darkness stands behind that. We find ourselves faced with constant reinforcement of teachings and understandings that are very, very contrary to what God would have as the principles that build up homes, the principles that build up churches. We find today that there are many, many churches that have no concept of what it is to promote biblical covenant oneness in a marriage relationship. More than that, and Christ, and he got very challenged the church where what's around us. But these are the people world spared out there. These are the life, our God, our ones and family. Here, if we must admit it, the stand that God, what's the so biblical? What like our truths and what God household support truth and right applied how you and so I am going to live in this message that truth path what God have to take from them. This one Titus says, as each court shepherd the church king needs to be to as elders in a congregation or commit church biblically, that means that has to live biblically. This is address in particular contrast foreignness lead Christ centrons of given marriage. And he said to that is and we verse he said of one there are many stalkers and especially those of the circumcision part. They must, since they by shame ought each. One foot on street, always even easy. That's an interesting thing to say his own people. But he king this and that, giving count this one on pride about taking care of the creek. Wow. Our day and age, that is to be spoken like, taught. But he's listening. His people rebuke that they sent in themselves to dismiss people from the pure, defy, even pure. Signs are a proof God, but they pestle, disobedient, unfit for good work. But it's where you teach what a cool. Titus stands the defense of this. The relief people. This change. Chapter, you see, not what he's called mission to do. Teach what a sound doctrine. Life is in the Christ principles. This is what we're to end our Lord. And I in the way and reap of that gun that is written to my soul. It's written to my church. My community. These truths are nurturous to us. What do we shepherds develop a scent. Word was turned. We each would accord doctrine. It's the test. Why? What's in accord with sound doctrine? But as they nested, God's people and how to bibble and think for way, the guide church, we work how we stand in our own heart. We need our own selfness. Well, I put it death. I think we're battling this. No, we had to. No. It's something called understandably God. Because only in truth benefit putting this. This is impressive. Everyone inside, he looks church at the church and say, well, that's so impressive and so beyond the encouragement of this world to be free and have God and which is consistent unto God, refreshing to the whole doctrine. For Titus, this would next testament that he did love was a to their hearts illuminate at this point in time. New Testament's not even complete. They are the sound as being the Old Testament teeth, illuminated teeth of Christ, taught by the elders and applied the Spirit of God's people. Do you see? We need the people of the whole book, not just the second. All of this is important us to learn. Feelings are not proper. God guard. Yeah, we're boy. Feelings didn't he? Yes. You say, well, he maybe gave some feelings to somebody. Well, he gave them to us all. We all are come equipped with feelings and emotions. Some of us are more emotional than others, but we all have them. We all have teachings and things that have been handed down to us, not only by our religious backgrounds, but also by our families and our friends, and we hear these things. How do we discern what's right and wrong? You say, well, I discern that by what's comfortable to me. Well, good luck with that. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out in the end. Because it's going to be sadly disappointing. And your mind changes like the wind. Because your feelings change like the wind. We've got to have biblical structures, biblical truths, biblical teaching to give our lives guidance and direction. And it's way easy to get our feelings and emotions mixed up in this. We got feelings and emotions. We just need to make sure they're in line with truth so that we go down this direction properly. So as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. That's what's important. You need to hear the truth. You need to hear it consistently so that you know how to live life biblically. And then he comes to verse 2 and he says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Mature churchmen influence the church with godliness and truth. Mature churchmen. That means men in the church who have been brought up in the faith, taught, they have their feet founded on clear biblical direction, biblical principles, understanding the categories that need to be developed to understand who God is, who we are, and what God wants us to do. Older men are to be sober-minded. So these qualities are those that mature men that they set forward as examples. And men, if you're in this worship center today hearing these truths, this needs to be applied to your heart and life. You need to be a man that is going after these things. You need to be sober-minded. This means you need to be free from influences and excesses that cloud biblical discernment. You say, well, that can be the abuse of alcohol, that could be the abuse of drugs. It certainly could be. But it can also be the abuse of emotions. It can be the abuse of taking a popular opinion and saying, what do people think? What should I do today? That's terrifying. That should not be the way we live our lives. We need to be sober-minded. We've got to guard our hearts against giving way to our feelings and emotions and the feelings and emotions of others as the guiding principles. And we need to guard our hearts against legalistic pressures, because that can change behavior, but it doesn't change our heart. We need to be discerning folks. Men, you need to lead your life and your family in discernment, sound doctrine, sober-mindedness. You need to be dignified. This means biblically principled consistency that is honorable. You see a man who is dignified, you see somebody who's consistently walking in the truth. Unflappable. They're self-controlled. Their emotions and reactions are governed by the Holy Spirit. This is so critical, because it's easy as men, you know, we're not typically really strongly emotional people in the early stages, but we get really strongly emotional once we get prodded to a particular point. Am I right, men? And we got to guard our heart against that. We can't give way to that. That aggression needs to be curtailed by God's truth and His Spirit. We need to be people who live self-controlled lives. And then he goes on to say, and you need to be sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. The final three are a package of qualities that show how men who are in good spiritual health behave. They're sound in faith, they're sound in love, they're sound in steadfastness. To be sound in faith means there is a healthy reliance in their heart on the promises and teachings of God's Word. One of the things that godly men will do is saying, when they're making decisions, they're trying to decide what to do, what's best for them, what's best for their family, what's best for their decisions in life, is by what standard am I making these choices? What's undergirding what my decision is? And it better be biblical truth. The standards of truth have got to guide us. We've got to be sound in the faith. We need to be sound in love. The love of God inspires Christ-centered love for others. That means Christ-centeredness, this isn't sticky and ooey-gooey emotionalism. It's love saying, I value what's best for you. I care about what's best for you. And you're sound in love. You love God and you love people, because you want them to be guided in truth. Man, this needs to be our passion. We can't just be self-contained. We have responsibilities outside of ourselves. Sound in steadfastness. This means that we hold fast to truth and justice in the midst of trial and affliction. That sounds so easy. That is so hard. To stay the course when difficulties come, when criticisms come, when opposition comes, when persecution comes, when afflictions of disease come. We need to be sound in steadfastness. We can't allow the winds of these things to take us off our biblical course. Men, husbands, and fathers, these are to be the exemplary goals that you pursue in your life. And now we'll take the men out of the picture and we'll focus on women, on Mother's Day. This is what the whole message is about. All this other stuff has just been introduction. Verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Here we see the desirable qualities displayed by mature Christian women. The desirable qualities displayed by mature Christian women. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Older women. Paul is addressing the mature women in the congregation whose children are probably older or grown or out of, you know, they're adults. Older women, likewise. These instructions are in line with sound doctrine. These are the things that women must understand and put into those categories. I need to walk in truth. This needs to be the truth that guides my life. May I say that women are important in every, are an important part of every local church. They're an essential part of every household, and they're an essential part of the household of faith. Here's the key of guiding our lives in biblical truth. First and foremost, husbands and wives are to function in biblical oneness, displaying unity with one another in their combined endeavor to delight in glorifying God in all of life. It is not in this that we want to guide and guard our own personal independent directions. No, see, there is a functional oneness that comes together in covenant loyalty that is to characterize marriages, that is to characterize that marriage as it leads a family, and it is to characterize those families as they partake in the congregation of a church, the household of faith. You see, fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters are to function in unified devotion to God and to one another, sharing the passion to delight in glorifying God in all of life. That is to be what we're all about. That's what the Christian home is to be characterized by. Unmarried men and women are to understand the biblical design of God in marriage and in parenting, and they are to support these biblical structures and these functions in the homes that they fellowship in the body of Christ. You're not being left out. You're being informed so you can help. Is it possible that an unmarried person attending church on Mother's Day can find something beneficial? Well, I hope to shout. Because all of this is important. We all need to know how this functions. We all have a part to play in these things. Older women, likewise, they need to be reverent in behavior. All aspects of a woman's behavior are to be worshipfully devoted to the Lord. Did you catch that? All aspects of a woman's behavior. It's to be worshipfully devoted to the Lord. That's what it means to be reverent in behavior. Everywhere you are, this is to be a characteristic of your life. There's no distinction between the behavior in the home, the behavior in the church, and the behavior in society. You're going to freak your kids out if you're something at church that you're not at home. They're going to be seeing, that's inconsistent. That makes no sense. Reverent behavior means all of life under the authority of God's truth, lived out for His honor and glory. No duplicity. No double-mindedness. One way with some and another way with others. You see, reverent behavior is edifying and delightful because when we see women living life worshipfully like that, it's encouraging. When children in the home see mom living out that reverent lifestyle that honors God, it's edifying. It's encouraging to the kids. They see something solid that is under the feet of their mother, and they go, that's dependable. I can count on my mom. She is going to be reverent in behavior. not slanders, diabolos. Sound familiar? Yeah. That's descriptive of the devil. Devilish, malicious, slanderous. What kind of words does Satan have? What kind of words does Satan have? Well, he's the accuser of the brothers. He's the liar. He's the slanderer. Indeed. Indeed he is. But make no mistake, he is cunning about it. He plies his wares in ways that are masked, seem reasonable, seem like that makes sense. Slanderous is a very, very bad thing to be. But it's so easy to do. Words come forth from our mouths so quickly. What governs those? What is all that about? Unfortunately, folks, it's part of sinful human nature to see fault in others and to share that criticism, casting others in a negative and disparaging light. And you can sit here and you can say, yeah, I sure you can. You know others that have done that, right? You can identify other people that have done those things. But see, where's the mirror of our own soul? Why is this so dangerous? Why should we not be slanderous? Why should mature women not use their tongue in that way? Because critical words are destructive and divisive. Even the soft words. Even the, you know, I don't really want to say this. I'm just going to share this with you as a prayer request. Proverbs 18 and verse 8, it says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Isn't it amazing when you hear somebody intentionally whispering? You go, what are they saying? And you hear those things. Somebody says, I don't, this isn't for everybody. I'm just telling you. You go, oh. Be cautious, folks. Be cautious. The words that follow could be very, very damaging, very destructive. You know, you can know the person that you're talking to. You can know the person that's talking. You can say, I know them. I know they're not consistent. I know that they are not a godly person. I know they have all kinds of problems. But as soon as they say something negative about somebody else, you immediately are impacted by that statement. Folks, we need to be discerning in our hearing. We need to be discerning in what we say because it's dangerous. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in His likeness. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be. That means don't do it. Don't do that. You see, slandering, talking about others, criticizing people, even if you think it's just on the down low, avoid it. Don't be slanderous. Man, praise God for women who are not quick to condemn others. And thank God we have many of them. And praise the Lord for that. That's a good thing. They are seasoned by life and biblical wisdom, having learned the beauty of seeking to honor God and His grace in the lives of other people. That should be the focus of a godly woman. In the flesh, isn't it easy to point out the faults and failures? Would you agree? Let's walk in the Spirit so that we develop in our heart, where's the grace? Can I point that out at least first? That should be our heart. That should be our desire. Godly women will do those things. They're not slaves to much wine. You know, drunkenness is repeatedly condemned in Scripture. Getting drunk doesn't help you to be reasonable. You can't be slaves to much wine. It's not that drinking is sinful, it's drunkenness that's sinful. Not to be slaves to much wine. What does this mean? It means that she doesn't seek to escape the pressures and demands of life through intoxication. There are demands and pressures in life. And may I say, it's not always drugs and alcohol that intoxicate us. Sometimes we're intoxicated by me time, right? Let's not go in there. That's a little too convicting for Mother's Day. You see, godly women know the importance of living with calm thoughts and reactions. Godly women are going to react with ways that their thoughts are calmed by truth and their reactions are not overt and explosive and condemning and negative. They are to teach what is good. What women learn about walking with God in truth is to be shared in fellowship with other women for their good and for God's glory. They're to share what's good. We don't want women to grow old, sour, and separated. Is there a temptation to grow old and become sour and separated? There is. We need to avoid that. Moms, don't be like that. Don't get sour. Don't push other people away. You need to learn the grace of congregating with godliness. Women are to grow old, sweet, inviting, and biblically compassionate. You see, the wisdom God imparts to us is meant to be shared with grace and humility. That's what God wants. A classroom or a lectern is not needed in this situation. Your contact with other women in a way that it shows my life is governed by truth. And I can impart this wisdom in a gracious way that shows God rules and Christ is my king. A godly woman knows that to be a good teacher, she needs to be a good listener. The substance of a mature Christian woman's communication is what we see in verses 4 and 5. And he says, so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. This is what the mature women are to impart to the younger women. You're to train the older women are to encounter younger women in the natural course of life in and outside the church. This is basically what you'd say, hospitality and fellowship. In your interactions, in your day-to-day life, your life is to exude these wisdoms that you impart to those around you. You see, God stirs in the heart of a mature woman compassion and concern for younger women. They're not targeted like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West. Oh, my pretty, let me in with you. No. It's like, I want to bless you with God's grace and goodness. I want your feet to be planted in the things that have nurtured my heart and soul for years and have brought me great peace and joy with Jesus. I want you to know those things. That should be the heart. Mature Christian women know that being countercultural can be taxing and disheartening. And they want to encourage other people to stay the course. Train the young women to love their husbands and children. Philandros, it's the Greek word behind loving your husband. That's to be a characteristic. You have genuine care, concern for your husband, and philotechnos is the Greek word behind characterized by love for your kids. There's this characterization of love that exudes. She loves her husband. She loves her children. If there's one thing you can say about a godly woman who's Christ-centered is when you're around her, man, she loves God, and it's evident she loves her husband and she loves her kids. They're highly valued. You got to train the young women to love their husbands and kids. The mature teach the younger women to be selflessly devoted to their husbands and children. Is it possible that this might be challenging? As husbands, we go, we are. Challenging. It's difficult. The pressure life gets up. It can be difficult. Are we loved? Women to your husband said that is the one for any who walkers in the must be since said whole families for shameful what need you see God her home and it appears why have a huge influence on praise be what's the atmosphere in our day to day. Well, we live in a society that mocks husbands and abdicates the guidance children. You know, you say, well, you know, men were oppressive. So many hundreds. It's time for payback. Yeah, that's biblical. That's always good. That's not what God wants. No, you see, society mocks husbands, and it's wrong to do that. Husbands are a vital key component of covenant marriage. They should be honored. They should be encouraged, not disparaged. Children should be valued, seeing them as image bearers of God, to be launched in as weapons of war against darkness. This is what God wants. Moms, you are involved in this. It's important. Man, men are ridiculed continually with academia and advertising. And unfortunately, we get lots of ammunition. Because we're human. But it's not best. We need to be conformed to the image of Christ. We need courage to do that. Wife, be on your husband's team. Encourage him. Encourage him. Stop picking at him. Well, if I pick at him, he'll stop. No, he won't. Just being around. This is good. Firstly, the love back for your enough. It's God's line. Your husband. Soul and mock. That bit. Why you and your diet, time, your risk, and see how response to that. And then when you're doing that, they're going to go, this is important. This is what I should do. You see, children at home's career, cares, being family, neglect for this result in promises of that are unfulfilled, spoiling, rotten, and they're knitting them. Children are not gods to be life and worship honor. And your task is glorious. And your children need you. They need to be shaped into image bearers of God that honor him. That they're fashioned to be a worshiper of the Most High God. Seeing his hand in all of life consistently. Nurture that in your home, moms. Biblical homes are countercultural. And mature women help younger wives and moms understand that God inspires and empowers obedience. Yeah, it's hard. Say, my husband can be a challenge. You make that statement, and I guarantee you, every wife here will go, yeah, amen. But we're supposed to be working at this together. It's a grand and glorious thing that women and wives are never challenging. They're to train younger women to love their husbands and children. They're to be self-controlled. This means they need to be under the guidance of truth by the power of the Spirit of God. You see, losing control is ungodly, and it needs to be unacceptable. This might come as news to you, but women tend to be more emotional than men. You guys are way too serious. But you know, emotional displays can be manipulative. And that's not godly. That's not what God wants. That's not the way you should try to get the things you want. Mom, when your children see you doing that, what does that teach them? Do the same thing. If I want my way, I'll just be a little emotionally manipulative. I'll pitch myself a little fit here and get what I want. No, this is not the way God designed this. It's not what he wants. Be self-controlled, under the Spirit's control. You need to be pure. In a morally and sexually decadent world, a godly wife needs to keep her heart free from the distractions and compromises that come. And man, they are everywhere. And yeah, I know, overtly men are more succumb to this more overtly than women. But it is a lie to think that this isn't a problem. Purity for women is important. God wouldn't have said it if he didn't think so. Purity is important. Wives are to be pure in thought, in word, and in practice. If your husband is in sin, then prayerfully, humbly, and respectfully express your concerns. Your husband's sin and selfishness do not give you the warrant to upbraid him and contaminate your heart and your relationship by that. It's wrong. You can have a powerful influence. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 talks about how powerful the witness of a wife to a disobedient husband can be. And she doesn't even have to make it a vocal dominance. It's just the power of trusting in the inner dwelling Christ. Mothers, your children need to witness you treating your husband in a manner that shows that you are guided and constrained by biblical standards and parameters, because that's what you want them to be committed to. Working at home. Paul's instructions and the Lord's intent that a wife and mother see the honor and beauty of domestic excellence. There's nothing, this doesn't mean that, yeah, she needs to be chained to the home. She can only stay there. That is not the point. It is that this is the place that she is to nurture into health and vitality. This is where her focus is. Her desire is to sustain a God-centered, peaceful, and joyful atmosphere in the home. That is what a mom can do. The home is not to be her private kingdom operating by her standards and demands. It is a holy environment where God is honored and parented in that. See, God's are moved. Just be your interest in God's design. Godly, where children where guests are said to leave. Amen. Kind. Be kind. Blessing others by being virtuous. A woman's life is to be overflowing with the grace of God. There's to be God honoring and people blessing sweetness to the kindness that is there. Submissive to their own husbands. Her own husband is to be the focus of her loyalty and support. I'm there to support him in his pursuit of Almighty God and the glory of Almighty God. I'm going to come to his side. I'm going to be his support. I'm going to be his aid. A husband should feel like the greatest cheerleader he has on the face of this earth is his wife. You say, that is so selfish. Can't believe you would say something like that. Why? We should be cheering one another on for goodness, God's grace and glory, shouldn't we? Try it. You might like it. It's worth putting into practice. You see, a wife is to trust God's design and structure to promote marital oneness. We need to be encouraged to strive after the same goals. The husband is responsible for leading his wife and children in the truth and righteousness of God, and the wife is to support that leadership. A godly wife will desire to join her husband in a united pursuit of God and godliness, and she will find joy in following his lead. All of this is mocked by the world. This is disparaged by the world. But this is where truth, health, and holiness reside. This is the path of blessing. That the word of God may not be reviled. Biblical domestic structures communicate God's household design that the world can see. It has a powerful, powerful witness. We're not doing this to seek the world's approval. We're doing this to challenge the world to consider the claims of Christ. If you're trying to get the world's approval, you're already at a loss. We trust God's truth. We obey along with God's people, and we will impact the world for Christ. You see, these Cretan Christian women are to emerge from the Cretan society as those who stand apart, not conformed, but transformed. Is it possible? Absolutely it is. Can God do this kind of stuff in our households? He absolutely can. He can nurture health. Yeah, you might be sitting next to your spouse right now and going, man, it is so bad. You have no idea. This is hard. Don't talk to me about hope. I'm talking to you about hope. There is hope in God, and there's hope in Christ, and there's hope in the application of His Word. Put it into practice and watch God bring the flourishing benefits of His grace. Do what God says. You will be enriched and blessed by it. Man, ladies, there's a blessing for being a godly woman. There's a blessing for being a godly wife. There's a blessing in being a godly mother. This is the blessing of God. If you go to verse 15, he says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. How important is this stuff? Pretty important. This will change your life. It'll change your heart. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your household. It'll influence and change your church. It has the power to change a community. When we all unite in these ways, it's incredible, the impact of truth in our lives. And this should be our passion, our desire. May God make it happen. May God make it a reality. So in closing, how are these instructions about the roles in a biblical household encouraging and challenging to you? Men, what instructions from this passage do you sense God stirring up in you to obey? I know it's Mother's Day, but it applies to you too. Women, what displays of God's grace can you affirm in the lives of your sisters in Christ? And I would encourage you. You've heard a list of these things. If you've seen these in the lives of your sisters in Christ, why not encourage them? Say, this blesses me. And I know it blesses your home. Keep up the good work. Wives and mothers, what displays of God's grace do you see in your own life? And what two things from this passage stand out to you as important on this Mother's Day? And prayerfully focus on those things. Ask God to nurture that into health and vitality. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for hearing a challenge from God's Word. And I pray that God will knit our hearts together as those committed to pursue truth for the glory of our God, for the good of our own souls, the good of our families, and the good of our church. God, help us to honor you. God, I lift up the moms who are here. Lord, theirs is no small, insignificant task. They need your help. They need your strength, and you have promised to provide it. You have given words of instruction to guide them in every step of the way, and I pray that you would help it to be fruitful to the glory of your name and to the blessing of their hearts. God, I pray that you would unite these homes and these households in a delight of and the nurture of biblical truth that honors your name. God, make that benefit evident in their heart, in their family. And God, strengthen our household of faith here as a church through strong and healthy families. Bless us in this way, God. We need you. We cannot do this on our own. We need you to help us do this. In the name of Jesus, we ask it.